I thought I'd just kick off by talking about Wikipedia. Who's familiar with Wikipedia? Just put your hand up if you're familiar and keep it down if you're not. Wikipedia is an online encyclopedia where users actually contribute stuff. You don't just visit the website, you can actually go and change the website. You can go and change things about facts, you can make them up, you can change them, you can do what you want. Trust me, I've done it. You can actually change things. I've inserted my name in on pages. The youth group that I used to run, I went to the page on youth groups and wrote at the bottom of the page, an example of a really good youth group is da 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 da, and put a link to it. It was quickly deleted, but that's Wikipedia. It's a user-driven thing where there's online collaboration, where people work together to put the stuff online that's going to be online. And I think that Wikipedia is a really good illustration of where the internet is at today. Lots of you probably learnt about how the internet works 10 years ago. It has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. It's only a bit over 10 years old as it is. So 10 years ago, the internet was static. You just went online to get stuff. Someone would provide the content from some corporation, from some business, from some government agency, from a library, from whoever it might be, and you just get the information. Now it's actually, you go online and actually help to provide the information. And so there's a term that's used, it's Web 2.0. And basically that term is sort of saying, look, this is sort of the second phase of the internet. This is the, we don't just go to get stuff, we actually have the opportunity to contribute, to comment, to post links to and fro, and all sorts of things like that. And so as we think about the internet, and as we think about how we're using it, as we think about how our teenagers, how our tweens, how our tots are using the internet, we need to recognize that it's not just something they use, it's something that they can be a part of contributing to. They can put stuff on there for good or for bad. They can be part of content production. They can be part of making that stuff happen. And so as we think about the web, and as we think about the dangers for your children in using the internet and how to help to safeguard them in it, my guess is there's three types of parents here today, if you are a parent. The first type of parent is the unaware parent. That's the parent who's like, MySpace? What's MySpace? Face? My book? Like, the internet? What's Google? I wear goggles when I go swimming, but I don't know what Google is. So I reckon there's probably a couple of you here who are just unaware. You might know what Google is, but beyond that, you're not really sure what's out there in the internet. You're not sure on the good things, you're not sure on the bad things, and I guess the potential dangers for your children. So there's the unaware parent. I think there's also the angry parent. I don't know if we've got any of those here this morning. The angry parent is the one that says, the internet? The internet is from the devil. It's that type of parent that's like, stay away from it. You cannot have a computer, you cannot have a mobile phone, you cannot go anywhere near the internet because it's terrible. And so you've got the unaware parent. You've got the angry parent. The third type is the one I want to encourage you to be this morning, and that's the wary but willing. The wary but willing parent. And so the wary but willing parent is realistic and wary about the real dangers online. Because there are real dangers online. So I want to urge you to know the real dangers, but at the same time as being wary of those real dangers, be willing to understand it. Be willing to see that this is where communication is and where it's heading. And be willing to help your kid, your tweenager or your teenager to think through how they can use it. So my aim as we do this, whether you're unaware, whether you're angry, or whether you are wary but willing, my aim is that as we think through the internet, I think that the internet is by and large neutral. That is, it in and of itself isn't wrong, but good stuff happens and bad stuff happens. So we need to be real about that. It's a neutral thing, but people can either use it for great good or for great harm. And so as we think about that, and as we think about the fact that our kids know more than we do about the internet, I guess the big aim is how you can work hard to help them use it for good. Does that make sense? If it's a neutral thing, can be used for good and bad, how do you work with your kid who knows more than you to help them to use it for the good things and to steer clear and to put checks and balances in place so that they're not falling into things that they know they shouldn't, and you definitely don't want them to be falling into. By way of introduction to see just how much you don't know about the internet, there's a little handout that's on your table there. And what I want you to do, I've put a couple of logos from a few Web 2.0 technologies, a few pictures there. Have you got the techno talent? Do you know what these are? Are you savvy when it comes to these things? I want you just to take 30 seconds to a minute with the people around you. You don't need to write out a whole bunch of things. You might just put a tick if you think you know what it is. Not just heard of it, but actually know what happens there, or across if you have got no idea. We'll see who wins and see if anyone can get 10 out of 10. You've got like 1 minute. Quickly talk to the people around you and check through them. Go. Go. If you haven't talked about the second column, start talking about that one. Okay, we'll bring it back there. Okay, quick show of hands if you haven't just heard of Google, but you actually know what Google does. I'm guessing that there'll probably be most hands will go up at this point in time. Google. Someone want to shout out what Google is? Let me just test you. Shout it out. It's a search engine. You type stuff in, and it finds stuff for you. It's a huge catalog. It's a huge index. What's that? It does a lot more than that now. There's a whole bunch of things that Google does. Wikipedia, hand up if you had heard of that before today. Okay, what's that? That's an online encyclopedia where you can change things. So that means, you know the thing with Wikipedia? The thing with Wikipedia is that teenagers and primary school students think that they can do their assignments from Wikipedia. One of the problems with it is it's less accurate than the old school encyclopedias that we used to use. And the thing, you remember how the encyclopedias used to work? We had the World Book one, and we got it like in 1984, I think it was. And then every year they'd come out with the update, and it was sort of all the things that happened in the last year that sort of needed to be tacked into the other one. How does it happen now? Man, it happens by the second. That sporting result, that assassination, that big catastrophe is online immediately. There's Wikipedia, MySpace, hand up if you've heard of it. Hand up if you know what happens on MySpace. Okay, a whole bunch of hands drop. Who wants to shout out what is MySpace? It's a network, it's a social networking site, yeah, which basically means, we'll talk a little bit more about MySpace in a moment. Basically, particularly teenagers, they connect with one another, they do a whole bunch of things, they message each other, they write on each other's walls, they have friends, they have music, they have videos, they have all sorts of things. It's just a way of connecting. So that's a social networking site. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Facebook. Who has a Facebook profile here? Okay. Oh wow, that's awesome. That's a cheap gift. That's fantastic. I hope you got more than that. What's Facebook? What's Facebook?
MySpace for oldies.
Bingo, MySpace for oldies. It's a social networking site for oldies. The way I see it, teenagers, sort of your 13 to early 20s has a MySpace page, and then sort of 18, 19 to I think 100 has, if you've got a computer, has a Facebook page. It's sort of the older Facebook page. MySpace, there's sort of a bit of a class war going on there as well. MySpace came out of the music scene, and so it was a way for bands to get their music out there. Facebook came out of a university college alumni scene where it was a place to connect with your peers from your college throughout the rest of your professional career. There's obviously a lot more that goes on Facebook, but that's sort of the older version of MySpace. YouTube. Hand up if you have been to YouTube in the last 2 weeks. Okay. about a third, a bunch have been there this morning. YouTube is a video sharing website, and they made it big about 2 years ago. Why? Because Google bought them. If you want to make it big, you get Google to buy you, and you will make it huge. And so that's sort of the leading video sharing website. Twitter. Who's heard of Twitter? I guess there's not as many on this. About five of us have heard of Twitter. Who knows what Twitter is? Okay, there's like one hand left up. What's Twitter?
Basically where you can do a whole lot of blogs, and then your blogs can be circulated so people know what you're up to. You can write reviews and stuff like that. It's a way of like having a log, a diary entry, which a lot of people here, they can subscribe to, and they can get updates on what you're at and what you think about next and stuff.
Okay, I understood every single word that was just said, but there was lots of these faces there going... No idea. Basically what it is, what Twitter is a way where you just sort of, you can use it via your mobile phone and you can say, David is walking down the street. It's pretty much just a commentary on your life. David is at the toilet. David just got out of his exam. It's just bizarre in lots of ways. It started in 2005, but in the last 6 months, it's actually really taken off, and lots of people are getting onto that. Oh, I made an account a few years ago. I've got lots of these accounts, but I don't necessarily use them. I still can't work out why I really want to be telling people that I'm going to the toilet. I don't know why people would be interested in knowing that, and so as yet, I haven't really interacted with that one. MSN Messenger. Hand up if your child or your teenager uses MSN. Okay, lots do. Lots use MSN. It's owned by Microsoft. It's like an instant messenger thing, so it pops up. You can even do video conversations with your friends and whatnot. Lots of kids, they run home from school, they jump on MSN, they jump on their MySpace page, they check their email, they go to the toilet and tell people via Twitter. They do all sorts of things. That's MSN. That's been around for a long time, and I'm guessing will continue to be around for a long time. The next one's Second Life. It's starting to fizz a little bit, but who's heard of Second Life? Yeah, we're getting less hands every time. Second Life is as it suggests, a second life. So you create this little character in a virtual world and you sort of live things. And so it's bizarre. It's very bizarre. People pay... just a year ago, they had the first millionaire who made their million via Second Life. That is, they sold virtual property. Like, that's not a good investment. But for someone, she made $1 million. On Second Life. There's bands that have actually done concerts just for Second Life. So like famous bands will play like in a room and it will be videoed and their little avatars will jump around and people in this online world can see it. That's Second Life. Bizarre.
That lady makes $1 million.
Real million. Real. I think the currency is called Liras, or maybe that's France or something, I don't know, some Italy. It's called something, Linas, it's some weird word that sounds like a currency but it's not. So she made like about, I think it was some 100 million Linas, and that actually equated to $1 million, which is incredible. 12seconds.tv, who's heard of that one? Yes, I win. Oh, you don't know what it is. Have a guess. Go.
Is that where you get heaps of really short little clips to make impact and people go there and they want to see the short little impact clips?
Not quite. No, that's incorrect. Incorrect. I win. 12seconds.tv is basically like Twitter, is basically like on Facebook, if you're familiar with it, there's this thing called a status update. It's like that, but a 12-second one where you film yourself and you put it online. It's new. It's only a couple months old, and they're trying to get bought by Google, because once you're bought by Google, you've made it. The final one there, Ustream TV. Anyone heard of that? Okay, Dave again. Ustream TV is a bit like YouTube, but live. And so there's radio stations in America that just beam live 24 hours a day, and you can see the shenanigans that they're getting on. That they're getting up to in the background and whatnot. There's a whole bunch of, I guess, some of this Web 2.0 where it's not just me getting content. I can actually, on every single one of these things, provide content. Your kid can get onto these websites and they too can provide content. And so as we think about the content that they're part of providing, as we think about the internet that they're on, as we think about how to be wary but willing parents in this type of an interactive world, where I'd actually say the vast majority of you don't know what those things were, really. But your kids do. That's a little bit alarming. That's, I think, a little bit of a danger and a realm of your child's life that you actually don't really understand and don't really know what's going on for them. And so I think for teenagers today, and increasingly teenagers are getting younger, they've got that term called tweens, which is sort of that in between the child and the teenager age. I think there's broadly three areas that are huge things for teenagers. Number one, relationships. Number two, technology. And number three, alcohol. I think they're three of the biggest things that teenagers are going to be thinking through today. That's what they're thinking through. We're not going to talk about the alcohol one today. There's obviously avenues to pursue thinking that through. But relationships are important. Technology is important. Always got an iPod hanging out of their ears. Always got a mobile phone in their pocket. Always texting, like at midnight. Like, what is with that? Always on the internet. Technology is important. And I actually think that you see both of those things come together. It's actually through technology that heaps of relating happens. And so even though that may not be the only contact they have with someone, there's chickens out there, and that's pretty funny. Sorry, I've been hearing them a lot, and that one got me.
It's a rooster.
It's a rooster. Sorry, rooster, for confusing you. But it's... You're welcome. Relationships are important, technology is important, and I actually think you see those two things are coming together, and it's through technology that they relate. And so I wonder if being the angry parent is really unhelpful in lots of ways, because it actually means you're cutting off from all relationship in lots of ways. When that becomes the key way that teenagers are connecting with one another, I'm not sure if telling them not to is even, one, going to work, and two, is even necessarily good for them and their own social networking, their own relating. You see, 64% of teenagers use social networking sites like MySpace, and they create content. That's like regularly. This is Australian statistics, and 25% of teenagers use the internet regularly, but not necessarily on the social networking sites. What does that mean? 89% of teenagers are regularly, if not daily, on the internet. They're there all the time, and so we really need to think through how it is that we can be wary but willing parents in this realm. And so I thought we'd talk particularly about MySpace. We won't go into a great amount of detail, but MySpace, I think, is still just winning amongst the teenagers. Facebook is gradually catching up, and Facebook has lots of users around the world, but as far as in the teenage demographic, I think that MySpace is still winning. And so, even if you're not yet a parent of a teen, I know that I know of kids from Christian families who are 8 or 9 years old who lie and say that they're 13 years old to get onto some of these websites. And so, I don't know. You may not even realize that your 9-year old, who's not yet a teenager, who I'm particularly addressing, they already have these websites. They're already on there, and if they're not yet, they're about to be. And so with MySpace, lots of the stuff that happens on MySpace is similar to lots of the stuff that happens on lots of the social networking sites. And so lots of these things are in common. And so one of the best things you can do if you want to be a bit more aware as a parent is go to MySpace, MySpace.com. That's an address that you put into a web browser on the internet. If you can't work that out, come and speak to me later. And go to MySpace.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, and there's a button that's called Safety Tips. It is brilliant. They've got all the... MySpace don't want bad stuff to happen on their website. They want to keep making money off it. They don't want it to be shut down. They don't want parents groups to be complaining about it. So they're really active in trying to get rid of the bad stuff and encourage the good stuff. So there's videos there. There's a whole bunch of parents' guides there that will really help you to know how their website works and know how you can help your children as they weave their way through it. Very quickly, what happens on MySpace? I alluded to it before, but basically you have friends, you get them, you list them, you rank them. How's that? You have top 8 friends or top 4 friends or whatever. You get to comment on each other's walls. A wall is sort of like a thing that you comment on. It's sort of their homepage. You can send private messages. Be aware of that. Everything that you can see is not necessarily everything that's going on. There's private messaging. You can upload pictures and videos. Again, be aware of that and what is being uploaded. You can embed a music player with music coming from your favorite band's MySpace page. Embed videos, whether they're from YouTube. MySpace has a TV channel, MySpace TV. They have them from there too. People put quizzes and a whole bunch of other survey results. Blog posts, that's sort of like an online diary, are available. Bulletins, so you can send out a general announcement to all of your friends. And there's this thing called a status update or a mood update. So your mood is you can put a smiley face or a frowny face or whatever it might be. And your status can be similar to those Twitter things before. David has just been to the toilet. Or David is really happy today. Or David, whatever it is. You just talk about yourself a lot. It's basically what you do on these websites. Here's how I like to picture what MySpace page is. Back in my day when I was growing up in the 1980s, I had posters on my walls. I reckon it's a bit like a bedroom wall. You sort of put up there the things that are important to you, photos of friends. Christians might put Bible verse up there. You might put your favorite music band up there. You might put surfing pictures up there. You might put scantily clad pictures up there. Whatever it is that's important to you, whatever we used to put on our walls, if it's not on our physical bedroom walls anymore, it's on our MySpace page. And so we show what's important to us by what we put on there. We show something of our character by the patterns that we have and the themes that we decorate our sites with. But basically, lots of it's selfish. It's sort of about me. It's about showing how good I am, talking myself up, getting attention from me. It's sort of about that, but it's also a way of connecting. And so I reckon real networking happens in these sites, and real social networking happens on them. There's MySpace. Go to myspace.com, check out safety tips, and that will actually give you a run through on how the whole site works. Even make an account and play with it and just see what you can do. But we should talk briefly about some of the dangers. There are a lot of dangers, not just MySpace, but as your children interact with an online community, there are lots of dangers. You hear about them in the news, and they are real. I've actually found there's a number of resources on the back of your sheet there that could be quite helpful at the bottom. I found a website this morning that I've heard of before but never taken time to check out. It's called Net Alert. I didn't write it on there, so I didn't even make it onto the outline. netalert.gov.au. netalert.gov.au. It's brilliant. It's put out by the Australian government. And it has resources after resources after resources. And it really helps you to think through how do you safeguard your children on the internet? How do you help them to be protected on the internet? And so that's netalert.gov.au. That's got some great stuff in it. That's got so much more than I can possibly go into now as far as dangers and strategies for dealing with those dangers and putting up the right barriers and whatnot. Another website, which, trust me, is a worthwhile website, there's a link on the bottom of the sheet there. It's called XXXchurch.com. Don't be put off by the name. They call themselves the number one Christian porn website, which, hear me out, it is very good. Basically, what they're fighting for is online purity. And they're having an impact into people who are in that industry and helping to rescue people out of that industry. Who don't want to be in that industry, people who have suffered in that industry. And they have some really good stuff, again, for parents. So XXXchurch.com, /get help/parents. And there's a brilliant document that they've got that I was tempted just to read out to you this morning. I won't. Go and do that in your own time. It would really be worthwhile. The one off the XXXchurch.com website is very good. But let me just quickly draw your attention to a couple of dangers that are worth raising. And again, I really love it. If nothing else, as a result of what I've talked about this morning, you just pursue this stuff further and you just do extra reading for yourself. In half an hour, it's pretty difficult to really get a handle on everything. This has taken me years and years of just gradually reading stuff and talking with teenagers and experimenting with stuff. So don't expect to be able to get a good grasp on it in half an hour. You might want to set aside a few hours during January to read this stuff and talk it through with your teenagers. But a couple of things really quickly. The first one is time wasting. Do you know that teenagers are spending 72 hours a week hooked up to some type of electronic media? 72 hours a week. So that includes the internet, that includes their mobile phones, that includes the TV, that includes listening to their iPods, that includes playing video games. 72 hours a week. Like, That's ridiculous. Like, there's only like 80 hours in the week or something like that. They're pretty much always hooked into electronic media. I reckon you really want to help your teenager, your children think through how they can still do exercise, how they can still interact with people in real time, not across a video screen, but playing in the front yard or the backyard or whatever it might be. And so, like, I think when I was growing up, lots of parents set limits for TV use. It'd be good to think through how do you set through limits for using some of this stuff? How do you set through limits for how long they're on the internet for and what they're doing on the internet? That's just a small one, time wasting. But that's, I think, still an important one. Another one, cyberbullying is real. There's people via schools. The schools actually investigate stuff when one kid complains about what another kid has done via their mobile phone, via an internet site and whatnot. It happens. We've seen it in the media. I've read it from Christian teenagers, just the way they talk about other people. We're not talking about the kid from the rough side of the tracks necessarily. We're talking about the kid who's from a good family and seems to have it all together. And the way they're speaking and the way they're talking about other people is not necessarily a helpful thing. A huge, huge, and I can't underline it enough, danger with the online world is predators. It is real. I was just talking to a man about docs, and one of the things with docs is they're increasingly finding that they are following up child protection issues, child predator issues, whatever it might be, increasingly via the internet. That's where the predators are finding it easy to get details, are finding it easy to groom young people, are finding it, there's police who just spend their time posing, pretending to be 15-year-old girls to catch out some of these predators. It is real. And I think we need to really take this seriously, and you need to really communicate how dangerous the online world can be to your teenager. I've got a friend who's he's a forensic investigator. Sort of like a CSI type of dude. He's a computer hacking genius. He goes around with the federal police and busts down doors, and he's the one that grabs the computer. Yeah, there's lots of fraud that he does that for, and people who are embezzling money, he grabs the computer and he knows how to get the stuff that's even been deleted. But this guy, I actually rang him up recently and asked him for what are his three tips, because of the stuff he sees, not just with fraud, he sees incredibly evil things that people have on their hard drives, that people are accumulating, that people are distributing. He gave me three tips, which I reckon are really helpful. Just in general, in thinking about this stuff. Number one, his tip was, teenagers have access, computer users have access to anything and everything, therefore supervision is so important. And so even where you, his suggestion is, where do you put your computer? Is it tucked away in a room, or is it out in a common place? It might mean you don't have a wireless internet connection. You've actually got to plug in to an internet connection so that you can't take a laptop anywhere at any time. So they have access to anything and everything. Number two, his tip is, pedophiles are unfortunately... here's his language. Pedophiles are unfortunately aplenty. Don't chat to randoms. That is so important. The amount of incidents that we hear of bad stuff that happens online because of vulnerable people, vulnerable children, not really understanding the dangers and understanding that that person they're talking to may not actually be the person they think they are. And finally, the third one he came up with is, identities are easy to steal. And so guard your personal info on the net. So with your MySpace page, with your Facebook page, like, you don't want your email address blasted everywhere. You don't want details of who you are. You can actually make things private as well, so that the only people who can see your MySpace page are your friends. And the only people they should be accepting as their friends are their friends, people they know in real time. Otherwise, their data is available and able to be used. I'm alarmed, like, seriously, as I've looked at teenagers' websites and just seen the amount of info, some of the stuff they've uploaded on there, I just don't think they realise the risk. And I think that's part of being a parent, is how do you help them? How do you help to protect your children in this regard, with a 13-year-old who's excited about a fun website but just needs to be taught and helped to thought through the dangers that are there. Finally, the pornography. We could talk about that for a long time. That XXX website, XXX Church website, is very good. And so, by all means, chase that down. you know what, the average person they're finding, the average teenager now, the first time they view internet pornography is as an 11-year-old. And my guess is there's probably some of those 11-year-olds that have looked for it, but my guess is a whole bunch of them haven't. And I've just been talking to some guys about innocent words that have been typed into search engines and what's come up, and videos that then go pop up, and so all sorts of things like that can happen that are actually innocent, but do you really want your 11-year-old viewing that type of stuff at all, but particularly when they're an 11-year-old in such an innocent way? I think I equate it to... The other thing is, as you think about young boys and searching, I only just thought of this before. I might reveal something about myself, which at least lots of the blokes might agree with. I don't know about the girls. But during primary school, you know, the dictionaries? You used to look up words in those dictionaries and have a bit of a giggle. You'd look up parts of the anatomy. You'd look up different things you can do and whatnot. I did that, and we did that, but it was pretty innocent. Why? It's a dictionary. It just gives you a, like... What's really going to happen to you by understanding what that word means? You type it into some search engine, those words, just for fun, as an 8-year-old, like you do, as a 9-year-old, as a 10-year-old, like we used to do with dictionaries. Man, what is going to pop up? What is available at their fingertips? It's not just the Macquarie Dictionary definition of something. It's visual. It's stuff that you don't want to be going to, and you don't want your kids to be going to. Something like 34% of Australian internet users are regularly on pornographic websites. One in five of those are under 18. Work out the population. And you know, it's not just via our PCs. I've spoken to young guys that have got it on their mobile phones, are able to get it via their mobile phones. You need to know what phone deals your kids have been signed up to. Do they have internet access? It's pretty easy if they do. What type of locks can you get the phone company to put on? Do they need a mobile phone? Maybe they don't even need a mobile phone, might be the question to begin with. Look, I could talk for ages about the dangers. There's heaps of statistics online. Go to some of those websites I've suggested, and there's some more statistics and some more dangers and some more strategies to fight them. But I guess just understand the dangers are real, and you want to think through how do you protect your children through those dangers. Just finally, before I finish, it's not all bad. This is sort of where I started. I've just had a bad patch for the last 5 minutes. It's not all bad. There's really good stuff that happens online. I've witnessed it. I've seen it in the youth virtual communities that we've had in churches that I've been a part of. And some of the stuff they write to each other is incredible. The encouraging notes they write to each other. Maybe they'll share a Bible verse with one another. Whatever it might be, there's just really good stuff that happens online. It can be used as a good tool to encourage, to build up, to not attack each other with words that harm, but actually encourage each other with words that build up. And so I'd love to talk for longer about the it's not all bad stuff, but trust me, it's not all bad. And I guess your aim... your aim should be, how do I help my kid to be protected from the bad stuff, to know how to make wise decisions, because they'll know how to get past blocks and filters if they really want to, the older they get. How do you help them to think through stuff, and how do you help them to see that it can be used for great good, it can be used for good things? Just before I close, I've got a quote, because my guess is that there might be some people who are thinking, look, why bother if there's all these dangers and have to work so hard to make things good. The question might be, why bother? This is what a friend wrote recently on his website. He was talking about Facebook, but I think it applies to MySpace as well. He just said, debating whether Facebook or MySpace is a good idea is a bit like debating whether the telephone is a good idea. It's simply an inescapable fact of modern life. I just don't think the option is to escape it and to run in the opposite direction. I think that's pretty difficult to do. And so navigating it will be hard, but you'll need to research, you'll need to do your work. I've got a bunch of tips that are on the top of the page there, on the back. I won't talk through all of those, but read through those in your own time. But let me summarise. Three types of parents: unaware, angry, wary but willing. Be one of the wary but willings. Recognise the great good that can be done on the internet, and help your teenager, your tween, or your tot to use it for good. They already know more than you, so help them to unleash it for good. And again, I hope that if nothing else, as a result of this morning, you'll just be a little bit more aware, you'll be willing to read up a little bit more, because again, in half an hour, there's only so much we can cover. So thank you for listening. Are there? Have we got time for a couple of questions? Yep, we've still got a bit of time for questions. Are there questions? I'm sure there's lots of questions. Some people are still going, what's Google? we'll leave that one. You can look that one up in the dictionary and see if it's there. Any questions? Yeah.
Yeah, Dave. I've got four kids, and I'm trying to work out a strategy for them as they start to use the internet. There's some sites out there like Bluebull.com where you can actually box sites in rather than try and fill the sites out.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you recommend which is the best way to go about that?
Yeah, good question. The question is, what's that one you call?
Global.
There's one called, there's a website called Global, and it, rather than filtering sites out, you opt sites in. So you sort of filter in as opposed to filter out. And the question is, what's my recommendation there? I reckon that's a tough one because, I don't know if you saw, it was probably about 2 years ago, the Australian government had worked out these filters that were just unbreakable that were going to be put across all the schools and all homes were going to get them. Like a 14-year-old kid had hacked it and broken it and put out on the internet how everyone else could do the exact same thing within like an hour of the thing being launched. And so I guess people who want to do bad stuff will, and your kid, if they want to do bad stuff, they'll work out a way to do it. They'll work out how they can get around things. And so I reckon those types of things are good. I reckon play with those, see how they work. But one of the biggest things, I think, is communication and talking it through, doing things in a public way. I think one of my tips there was something like having a shoulder surf discourage secret keeping. So if you have a computer in the middle of the lounge room, you're less likely to have some of the problems I think people come up with by just being a little bit naive. And the thing I like to think through is, and how I want to help teenagers to think as I counsel them and talk through this stuff with them is, look, you might be a little bit embarrassed by some of the stuff that you've written on your website, like it might be, oh, I love you so much, or whatever it might be, in front of your parents, but you don't want to be ashamed. You see the difference? You might be a little bit embarrassed if your parents read that you love someone or really like them or whatever, but you don't want to be ashamed at what you... You know, they shouldn't want to be ashamed at what they're doing and what's been seen. So I reckon give those things a shot, but always know that people can hack around them, people can find ways around them, and so that's why you really want to be open with communication. There's a PDF document from the XXX Church website that has stuff that addresses that and whatnot. So again, I'd just encourage everyone to download those things and read them. They're really, really good. Did I sort of answer it? I think, I sort of answered that. That's pretty much all I'll do. Yeah.
Can you explain checking history and what
cookies
does?
Can I explain what checking history and cookies does? Checking history. Basically, every site you go to is logged on your computer. You can clear all that stuff. And so kids can easily work out how to clear that privacy data, is what it's called. I think you can actually put things in place so that only you with a specific password can actually have control over it. And so that could be a really good thing to pursue. The browser called Firefox, I think you can do that with. Cookies is just, websites have a thing where they go, ha, this person's visited before. And so it sort of keeps data on you and your computer. Yeah, does that make sense? How do I explain a cookie? Say that again. So you can sort of, so you can see the page offline, but a cookie. Okay, let's try to draw a picture. That's a website over there, and when I visit that website, it tags me with a little cookie. It gives me a biscuit, a cookie, and so I've got this biscuit. And so when I come back to the website, it sees my biscuit, my little cookie, and says, "Ah, he's been back before. We know all of his settings and whatnot." Does that sort of make sense? They can easily be cleared by kids as well. They can work that out. They can actually be dangerous, not just from a kid getting found out what they're doing, but they can, some people have some bad websites have cookies that try to take passwords, try to take all sorts of things. So that's another reason why you want to be careful on what websites you're going to. Even if someone deletes the history, it's still traceable. So scare your kids. Tell them I've got a friend who can get things that have been deleted. That's easily able to be worked out. Have I sort of answered those? Yeah. Any other questions? Final questions? Yeah.
Dave, with pictures and stuff on MySpace, so you're saying that if they
Yeah, only their friends can. If their MySpace profile is private, in Facebook likewise, there's a whole bunch of privacy settings. Make sure they're all checked in the negative or positive, whichever way it works. The only thing is, I reckon you want to be aware of, you put it online and you have 150 friends, they could do whatever they want with it, technically. And so there's some video, I've actually, on my website, I've got a bunch of articles and a couple of videos that you can watch. There's a couple of videos called Be Careful What You Post, I think there's something like that. And they sort of show that, look, once that photo's online, it's there, because it's saved on someone's hard drive. And so regardless of whether you've made it private, still want to think through the implications of what is being worn. Is that your house with the number on the letterbox? What is it that's identifiable in that photo? I don't want to be totally scaring. You can put stuff online, but you really want to think through what is the stuff, what am I wearing, what does this reveal about who I am, personal details so that I can be tracked, all that types of stuff. But it all goes back to you're having friends that you know and not accepting randoms, as my friend suggested.
My concern is, though, that if she's got a picture of herself and a friend,
yeah,
she's then posting that onto the website. You know, that's not good for the friend if the friend's parents don't want that to happen either. That's
yeah.
Why I was wondering.
Yeah, I think we're at a stage where lots of, as an example, YouTube are currently having all sorts of fights with record companies, and all this stuff's currently being fought out in the courts on what is copyright, what does it mean, and I think likewise with child protection and with photo use, that's all, like, it's a bit up in the air, like, what's legal? So I've just been on a camp for the last week, and I was with senior high, so that's probably slightly different from a junior high age, but lots of those senior high age kids have now added me as a friend on Facebook, they've put the photos up, they've tagged them, and they're available quite broadly for people. And so I'm not sure how to work with that and what the laws are. Because there's a sense in which, if it's just a fun photo of some friends, that's great. But yeah, what does the other parent think and whatnot? And so I think that also emphasises talking this through with each other. Knowing your kid's friend's parents is a good thing. Being hooked up with a church or community group or Bible, or all those types of things can be helpful, but I think it's great. I don't know if I've answered it. Once again, I don't know if I've answered the question. I think there was one over here.
Yep. A lot of these MySpace and Facebook that have passwords to get into, so you can't actually go onto your child's page without their permission, kind of thing.
Yep.
And the other thing, if you do, as in, you know, my daughter's silly enough to put in, you know, just hit a button and you can get into it. And you look at, say, the history of what they've written to friends, in a sense with Messenger, it's like them having a telephone conversation, like we would have.
Yeah.
And we used to talk about things that we didn't want our parents knowing.
Yeah.
So when you do read their history as a concerned parent, you're faced with stuff, as in so-and-so, oh yes, so-and-so, I went out and got drunk last night, blah, 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 no one knows about it. You're faced with that moral dilemma. What do I do? Why not? Should I know this? And two, what do I do with the information?
Yep.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, you can see it now, whereas when we were children, we'd talk on the phone or talk to our friends, and our parents wouldn't know we're talking about.
Yeah, that's helpful. So the statement / question is sort of the difference between in the past when it's just a private conversation on the telephone, but now what is privacy for your teenager is sort of the question behind it, isn't it? And I guess that's where my statement before of encouraging them to, they might be embarrassed, but they should have sort of a no shame, like if they're ashamed, maybe there's a reason why they're ashamed. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I've talked through this with a mother at length before, and I think, and so she expressed similar things. But the brilliant thing with her and her kids, I think she's talked through with them quite helpfully lots of the principles and whatnot. And so when she walks past, she doesn't have to go and read all the words that they're writing, but there's sort of an openness in their relationship. She gives them privacy, but within parameters. So I think that's probably a helpful way to think it through is,
yeah.
I don't think you need to read through every single thing they've written.
Absolutely.
Do we have time for one more? I think there was one over here. Yes.
I just want what Kayleen was saying about sending each other a photo. Does that mean, say that other kids in the class saw it and some other kid who didn't like you, could they then take your photo and stick it on some website, some horrible website?
Absolutely. Yeah. And once it's online, it can be put anywhere. One really simple example, I put on my website yesterday a collage that I made, and within a couple of hours, a kid from the camp that I was on had put, I don't normally post photos on Facebook, I just don't have time or care, but a kid had ripped that from my website. I don't have a problem with it, like, it's fine that he's done that, I'm not going to complain, but he ripped that photo and was already on Facebook, he's already gone and put it somewhere else. So once I've put it online, I know that it's online.
But if someone wanted to be really nasty, they could put you on some horrible, you know, line that then pedophiles could contact that child, think, you know, they could make up a pretend thing and say something. So
yeah,
is
but,
that easy?
If it's a compromising photo, they may be able to do that. If it's just a random photo that there's nothing much about it, I don't know how much they can really do and how much a pedophile's really interested in it. But if there's details on there, that could be an issue, yeah. Yeah.
All right,
thank you.
We might hold it there. Let's give Dave a